Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
We're looking today at the issue of how to find peace in the grip of stress. And Emeka Tapoyai, you're an expert in this area. You are a clinical pastoral counselor and an executive coach. You got your MA in clinical pastoral counseling from the Ashland Theological Seminary in the USA, and you're a member of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the Hungarian Association of Sexologists, and the Professional Association of Coaches as well. So we're very thankful for you giving your time today to talk about stress. Maybe we should start with the question, what is stress?
Stress is actually any kind of a demand that requires the body for some kind of a change, some kind of an adjustment. It can be good or bad. Mm. We usually call the good kind of stress eustress, and it can be bad stress, which we usually think about when we say the word stress. Eustress can be something like, I am excited about redoing my garden, and the excitement of going and planning and seeing it change and go through the various steps of change will excite me and get me to my goal. That's a good kind of a stress.
So it makes us perform better, that kind of
stress. Yes, it makes us perform better, and it doesn't put us down emotionally and physically like this stress would do.
So stress isn't always bad for us by any means.
In these terms, no. It is a possibility. Stress is always a possibility for change. Mm. So I always look at stress, and I tell my clients to look at stress as an opportunity for change. It is really for us a road across what you call it.
A river?
No, when the roads are crossing, can go
at a crossroads, or the roads are diverging
when
two
there
parts.
Is a road, and it can go two directions.
Yes, yeah, a fork in the road.
A fork.
A fork. Yeah.
Okay, so I go back to that point. Mm. So stress is an opportunity to change. It's like a fork in a road, when you can go either for a positive change. Mm. Or you can go towards a negative change, which is a wonderful thought if we think about it, that we can grow through stress if we treat it well. Mm.
But we often don't. Why is it so difficult to manage stress well?
I like to look at stress from two points of question. One is my interpretation of the stressor, and the other aspect is how much change I want to control. So it's a question of interpretation and control. The way I interpret the stressor can really put me down, really make my life miserable. For example, I go to work and I am in a hurry. And in that hurry, I realize that there is a traffic jam. Mm-hmm. It is already a stressor on me because I would like to get somewhere and I'm blocked and I feel the hurry of getting to work. Now, the way I look at this stress situation will have an impact on me. If I think about it, that this is life and death question, what are they going to think about me? How am I going to explain it? And I start having a self-talk that is putting myself down or predicting some negative future because of the situation, my stress level will increase. But if I interpret it like, well, that's usual, just about everybody else will be late from work, then most likely I can handle stress better. As a matter of fact, I can even look at it and say, well, this is a perfect opportunity for me to call the people I wanted to call, and I didn't have time in the morning. So I can get on my phone, which is, of course, by law plugged in, and I can just go and talk. So now my stress level not only is not increasing, not only is stable, but actually I turned it into something positive. And I can even be thankful for the stressor. So it was all a matter of interpretation. Of course, we have more difficult situations, but this interpretation is crucial in how we handle stressors. On the other hand, we have the question of control. The less control we have over a stressor, the harder it is to handle stress. So the more I want to hold on to my control, the harder it will be for me to go through time of change, which is a very difficult question because today's world is teaching us and trying to push through the idea that we can control everything, we should control everything, and if I cannot control it, it's my fault, which is a lie. And it is a very great addition to our stress. It's an internal stressor that we put on the situation because I start demanding from myself that I have to control. And the tragedy behind it, that it gives us a false conviction of safety. It's a desire for safety, but it is a lie because control will not give us safety.
So our own reactions to stress and our own expectations can actually end up making it a lot worse for us. Do you think stress is much more common in the 21st century than it was for our ancestors and past generations?
I think so. I think we have a very changed worldview. In this worldview, we have the influence of the humanistic idea. Humanism has flooded society and people's minds and heart. The idea of I have to have all my needs fulfilled. All my needs have to be fulfilled. It is a treadmill for today's men. On the other hand, in this urge to fulfill all my needs because my life and my happiness depends on it, on the other hand, there is the question of I am alone in it. I cannot count on anybody. Humanism says you are all alone, you're stuck with it, you got to learn to handle it, and if you can't do it, you're the loser.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you that because obviously there's ways in which today's society is much more complex, more mechanization, more technology, more things to do, perhaps higher expectations that we put on ourselves as well. But how much does worldview impact on this? If you're a humanist, if you believe there's no God, that death is the end, that it's all about you, how does that impact on stress levels? And do you think that we're seeing the fruit of that in terms of psychological problems or mental health issues?
Very much so. See, when I depend only on me, that's a very limited power, that I a very limited energy source that I rely my life on. People try to push themselves to control everything, and I see great amount of tragedies in relationships, but in the person's individual health level, mental health level as well. Because when people come to the point that they realize that they cannot control their lives, they start beating up on themselves. Why couldn't I do it? Why am I such a loser? Why isn't it not working for me? So this self-punishment is hurting them. Then after a while, you know, we cannot take self-blame for too long. We start searching for somebody else, for a scapegoat. So after we beat up on ourselves, we start beating up on somebody else. And now she is at fault because it is because of him or her that my control did not work, that I lost control over my situation. And when I realize that even beating up on him or her doesn't work, then who else is next? It is God. So what I see people going beating up on themselves, on others, and then blaming God. And then that leads to a total disillusionment in this world, in relationships, in God. So man comes to the conclusion what he claimed to be so wonderful, that man is alone, suddenly becomes the misery of his identity, that man is alone. Isn't that a great stressor?
Anxiety is something we all feel at various times, and yet people seem to vary in the amount of stress it takes to stimulate it and the way we react to potentially stressful situations. Are there any underlying attitudes that are typically connected with higher levels of anxiety?
As I mentioned, I think the primary attitudes are the desire to have control over everything.
Okay.
And also the interpretation of the situation. Further, it is my expectations of this world. Mm. We expect life to be perfect. Mm. We expect our lives to be perfect. Mm. And I think today's man doesn't know what to do with the problem of imperfection. The world has no theology that they could bring up, no answers to the question is, why is there tragedy? Why is there sicknesses? Why is there challenges, divorces, disputes, arguments, broken relationships? There is no answer for it. And every time man comes across a situation like this, the question is, who is in control? And in the question of control, the second question is, it shouldn't be like this. I find it very interesting that even those who claim that there is no God, when there is a tragedy, suddenly start blaming God.
Blaming the God that they believe doesn't exist.
Yeah, blaming a God that, according to them, doesn't exist. Which just shows this desperate search for the truth, desperate search for somebody that they can rely on, that they can rest with. I think our relationship with stress is a very strong reflection of our belief system, of our value system, of our relationship with God.
Now we talk about human beings having different parts, mind, soul, and body, and the interaction between them. Tell us about the interaction between the mind and the body when it comes to experiencing stress and managing it effectively as well. Can the effect go both ways, from mind to body and body to mind?
Yes, I like very much to deal with the body, because we have a body. We live in a body, and God has given us the body the way it works. It is His creation. We need to, in order to be able to handle stress better, we need to pay attention to the number of hours we sleep. Today's men do not sleep. We turn on the light and we think, as long as the light is on, I don't need to sleep. So we forget that sleeping for the brain is like putting the phone on the charger. And we don't understand in the morning, why am I on 20%? Because I did not sleep. So we deplete our bodies physically by not sleeping. The other thing we can do for our body is cardiovascular exercises. It seemed like it has been so much advertised that we need this. Yet what I found, that people hear it and they let it go. They don't pay attention. But just about 20 to 30 minutes a day, even every other day, can bring somebody to a great level of change in their mental health, which means they can handle stress better. They be able to come out of even a mild depression. They can come out of it just by physical exercise. Actually, all my clients who come to me with mood disorders, I ask them, please, would you promise me that while we are doing this therapy, you will start and keep on doing physical exercise. And I can see a great change, great difference between those who do exercise and who don't, because those who do exercise, they recover better, faster, as compared to the others who are also recovering but struggling and back and forth with deep distress. I like to mention the exercise, and I had a father who was a psychiatrist and a neurologist, and once I remember I called him up and I said, "Dad, could you help me? I am so frustrated and stressed and all these things, and I just feel like I'm really feeling down now." And my father had an answer that really put me to anger, because said, "Oh, sweetheart, all you need to do is half an hour aimless wandering daily." And I thought to myself, "Dad, you cannot be real. You don't know me. Out of those four words, none of them describe me. There's nothing I would ever do half an hour daily wondrous. I don't even understand the world, the word itself. What is wandering. Aimless and wandering? Those are horrible words." So I remember as I started practicing those, and I remember him doing it all my childhood. I remember him taking walks for a half an hour. Mm. And I started doing it, and I realized that it calms us down. Mm. It is just resting, letting our thoughts go, just saying, "I'm not going to dwell on anything. Mm. Just calm myself down. Just looking around, delighting in God's beauty out in nature. Even a small park can do it. Even around the block can do it. But sometimes we need to get out of the chair that we are sitting in for 18 hours a day." Mm. So it seems like a small thing, but I like to mention it to people, the wandering time, which is also a body requirement. Mm. And maybe one more thing I would mention here, that we need to somehow be merciful with ourselves. Some of us just have a predisposition to anxiety or depression, which means we are carrying in our bodies a genetic disposition, which can make us more vulnerable to stress. It doesn't mean that we will never get better. It just means we won't be complete in this world. Mm. On this side of glory, we will never be complete. Mm. And accepting it can help us in not beating up on ourselves.
Mm. So rest, exercise, aimless wandering, all great things. Is reflection helpful? And what questions can we ask ourselves or about ourselves in order to be more aware of how stressed we are and better to manage it?
Yes, cognitive therapy says that we do have distorted irrational thoughts that can really hurt us deeply. Mm. And one of the thoughts that we regularly think is the thought of must. Mm-hmm. I must. I must do well, or you must treat me well, mm-hmm. or the world must be perfect, yes. must treat me well. Mm. I think this summary of the three must is a genius discovery. Mm. It's just a genius summary of realizing how our expectations can really bring us down. Mm. We need to look at ourselves in the stresses of our lives, in periods when we feel that there is so much demand for change, maybe so much loss, so much fear, and ask ourselves, what is it that I'm afraid of? What am I feeling? What is going on inside of me? What have I lost? What is it that I'm demanding of myself, of the other, or the world, or God? So just checking out our feelings, our emotions, can really help us get in touch with what's inside, mm-hmm. naming them, letting them come out, and then asking myself, what is connected to my emotions? What feelings,
thoughts,
thoughts, thank you. What thoughts am I connecting with my feelings? What can I find in connection? Because those thoughts can guide me towards change.
How does the Bible help us? That what biblical principles can we apply in managing and dealing with stress?
I think of three principles that I like to mention when we think about handling stress. One is the thought of self-discipline. It's not something that would be advertised on a daily basis nowadays. But C.S. Lewis says, ask the door, ask yourself which is the true door, not which one pleases you the most.
Okay.
We want often to ask which door pleases me the most. Self-discipline says, which one is the true door? Because one will bring relief on a short term, but on a long term, it will bring on further distress. So self-discipline is the question of the thought. It's a cognitive dimension of what do I feel like doing and what is it that I know that it is a true door where I should go through. It is self-control. I think it does have a major part in getting better or handling stress. Cognitive therapy is actually built on these thoughts. But this is not enough because stress is not just thought, but it is heart as well. So the second one guideline for handling stress would be looking at God and saying, I am giving up control to you. Giving up control to God rather than holding it in my hand. It is so good to be able to come to him and say, the battle is yours. Because he says, the battle is mine. It is not against flesh and blood only. It is about all the pressure that society's philosophy puts on us. So for me to be able to say, I give up control to you, can be very, very helpful in handling stress. And finally, I think we need to think about when in stressful situation that God is a loving God. He is a faithful God. It would be hard to give control to a God that I do not see as a loving God. But knowing that he is the Father, he is the one who loves me the most. He is the one who wants to see me for the rest of my life, all the way through eternity. And what he has done for me to be with me, now that's a trustworthy person to put control into his hands. So finally, I would say, reinforcing the belief, reading verses, and praying with the trust that he is with me and he loves me. These three dimensions of self-discipline, giving up control, and trusting the Father who loves me can really help us through stress.
And how can we help others who are coping under stress and may not have insight into how it's affecting them? How can we help others to manage it more effectively? I guess this is what you do for much of your professional life.
The first step that I find the most helpful for anybody who is under stress is that they could be heard and their emotions could be validated. I always encourage people, if you want to help somebody who is under a lot of stress, we started with the definition of stress. It's a demand for change, which is difficult. So in their demand of change, what we need to do is sit down with them and look at them and say, how are you doing? Tell me about your fears. Tell me about your losses. Tell me about your pain. I'm here. I will sit with you in the sand. I will sit with you, look into your tears. I'm ready to hear you, not to give advice, but to hear you. Mm-hmm. When we go through that phase, there, I believe, because that's what I have experienced, that there is one point when people start saying, okay, what can I do? Mm-hmm. It will be them who will ask me, now give me advice. Okay. I would never switch the two around. I would never start with giving advice. Mm-hmm. I always start with the possibility of them pouring their hearts out to me and me being willing to look into their tears. Mm. I think that's very healing, and that's opens their trust towards me for advice. Mm.
So that when it comes, it's because they're really seeking it and you're not offering it without them being ready, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. Mocha, thank you very much for your time and giving us, sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you.